Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Well, summer is drawing to a close. People are still outside enjoying the warm weather, though. And where there are people plus water and warm weather, that equals mosquitoes. But in some parts of the United States, mosquitoes are much more than a minor irritation this year. Last week, infections and deaths attributable to the West Nile virus reached record levels at 1,993, a number that may still be on the rise. Marm Kilpatrick is professor of ecology at the University of California, Santa Cruz, and joins us now. Professor, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
What explains this huge uptick? I hear so many different things. Dry weather, very wet weather, mosquitoes like both of them. I'm a little confused about what might be causing this big uptick in West Nile.
Well, the answer is we don't exactly know what is causing the local epidemics of West Nile virus, especially in Texas, partly because we do know that many different things can affect the number of cases in a year. And that includes how many mosquitoes there are, what the mosquitoes actually feed on, how many different birds there are of each different species, and even what the timing and when they reproduce. We know that weather can affect both birds and mosquitoes, but there's actually evidence that warmer temperatures can both increase transmission through faster mosquito and virus development, but it also can actually reduce transmission by shortening mosquito lifespans. And rainfall, it turns out, can have mixed effects as well. Too little and you basically have nowhere for mosquitoes to lay their eggs, but too much might actually flush some species from their container-like habitats. So that makes it a little bit tricky to know exactly what's happening. On the human side, there's actually evidence that behavior can play an important role. So protective behavior like wearing insect repellent or long sleeves when people are out can reduce your risk of transmission. And there's also some recent evidence from a guy named Dr. Bill Risen and colleagues in California that previous exposure and immunity in birds can reduce subsequent transmission. And the same might be true for people that frequently get bitten by mosquitoes and are at risk for West Nile virus.
So it's a complex disease that transmits through several vectors from mosquitoes. Birds get it. The mosquitoes can then bite humans and get the disease. So it's sort of a complex triad, not to mention the interactions with all of the rest of the environment. What parts of the country, Professor Kilpatrick, are being the most affected right now?
This year, in 2012, the hardest hit areas are places in Texas as well as in Oklahoma, and other areas have seen kind of moderate levels of activity, but not nearly as much as Texas.
So Texas is the hardest hit area. You know, where I live in Washington, D.C., ever since the last major outbreak of West Nile, there used to be a lot of crows in my neighborhood. There are none anymore and haven't been for about 10 years. I suspect other bird populations, if this spreads, people in other communities might experience much the same thing.
That's true. And in fact, we did a study a number of years ago and actually found that as the wave of West Nile virus spread across the U.S., there was actually substantial mortality at the population level in six different species of birds. So in fact, there was evidence, as you're suggesting, that things like crows and jays took a major hit from West Nile virus. In some areas, those populations have recovered, whereas in others, they have not. And in particular, American crows do not appear to have recovered nearly as fast as some other species.
Yeah, they definitely haven't where I live. Well, what about people at this point? You mentioned wearing sunscreen and long sleeves can be protective. Do we have any sense of the virulence of West Nile virus in this round of spread about how dangerous it might be for humans any more so or less so than previous outbreaks?
We don't have any strong evidence that this outbreak is any more or less virulent than past outbreaks. Thankfully, about 4 out of 5 people that get infected with West Nile virus actually will show no symptoms at all. It's only really 1 out of 5 that get any sort of illness. And then there's actually a very small fraction of those that will get the more serious form of the disease, West Nile virus encephalitis or meningitis.
And are we talking, as with many diseases, the people most at risk are the very young, infants, or the very old, the elderly, or people with compromised immune systems?
It is true that people over 50 and with compromised immune systems have a higher risk of getting the more serious form of the disease. But in fact, even young people or even just kind of people in the prime of their life can also get the rare form of disease, although with less probability.
Well, lucky for us, it's not too hard to prevent. Wear lots of mosquito repellent if you go outside. Avoid the dawn and the dusk, of course, long sleeves and hats. That'll do it. Professor Marm Kilpatrick, professor of ecology at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.